The Navy is urging ship contractors to embrace head-to-head competition. A new combat ship program pits two sets of contractors against one another to see who can build vessels better and cheaper. Kevin Brancato is a defense analyst for Bloomberg Government. He joins us now to explain the Navy's new buying strategy. Mr. Brancato, thanks for joining us.
It's great to be here. This study analyzed the future implications of the competition between Lockheed Martin and a team of Austal and General Dynamics for the Littoral Combat Ship Program. The Navy plans to buy a total of 55 Littoral Combat Ships through 2030, and at about 400 feet, 3,000 tons, they're relatively small compared to the other Navy ships, yet at over $400 million each, they're not cheap. So it's important that the Navy try to drive as low a price as possible. But these two ships are radically different designs, but perform the same missions. Lockheed Martin is a standard steel hull, single hull, where Austal has its trimaran design, basically all aluminum. But the Navy strategy was a little bit different right from the get-go. It decided to take the C-frame, which is basically the hull, the engines, the combat ships, and some of the mechanical systems, and separate those out and have a competition for those and take some of the real high-tech, interesting technology needed to find mines and hunt subs and deter pirates and put those into separate mission modules. And so for this competition, it was a standard development. The Navy threw lots of money and tried to get two different competing designs. And in 2009, it had two separate programs. Both were had cost overruns, tremendous cost overruns.
But let me ask you this. Was this at the Nunn-McCurdy level, like 25% over the baseline at that point? Did they have to review the entire program?
No, it was far more than that. The Navy's initial cost target for that C-frame, that its objective, was $150 million. The threshold is $220 million. The ships are coming in at that point at $500, $600 million apiece and would increase thereafter. So the Navy put a stop to it, and it understood that the first two ships, there are going to be design issues. It's going to be very difficult. You're going to start a brand new design because they're based on originally commercial designs. They wanted to keep them as cheap as possible. But for the third and fourth ships, that is one from each contractor team, they stopped. They just told the contractors to stop and insisted on getting fixed prices. And then they managed to do so. And in 2009, the Navy decided it was going to downselect and say, we're going to have only one design, and we're going to have a second contracting team build that design in a way that's very similar to the way other ships are made, where you've got one or two shipbuilders that the Navy maintains. But in a turnaround a year later, the Navy decided that it was going to procure both. Because the incredible bids that were offered by both teams, and the Navy requested in 2010 authority from Congress to get two 10-ship fixed-price contracts, and the Navy has been busy executing those ever since.
We're speaking with Kevin Brancato, a defense analyst for Bloomberg Government, and his study is called Real Competition for the Littoral Combat Ship. Now, Kevin, in which situations would this head-to-head competition be actually the smartest course for the Navy to take?
Yeah, as I said before, it's going to be really hard for the Navy to leverage head-to-head competition for ships like aircraft carriers, where there's only one yard in the country that's capable of building them, or amphibious assault ships, destroyers. The Navy strategy is to preserve the limited industrial base it has. So competition is not feasible everywhere. Where it is feasible are for the smaller ships, and they're going to have some, say, 15 oilers that it can be replaced. It's possible to have a head-to-head competition for those. Or their Navy is going to replace its landing craft, its LCAC, its landing cushioned aircraft, air cushioned ships, and it has already started a program where the Navy has built the fundamental core principle and core design and was probably going to start on this, have a lead shipyard and a follow-on shipyard, yet it seems ripe for this head-to-head competition.
What are the implications for the industry? Are they changing the way that they work?
Well, I think the industry has changed. overall is that the two shipyards that are building these littoral combat ships, one is it's Austal's shipyard in Mobile, Alabama. Austal is an Australian company, and the second one is Lockheed Martin, which is building it at Marinette Marine. Marinette Marine is owned by Fincantieri, an Italian company. And so the industrial base has moved and shifted, and I think the Navy is trying to take advantage of this smaller ship with a design which multiple shipyards throughout the country are capable of building. And so if it wishes to leverage this this head-to-head competition, it's going to have to do so in very specific areas and understand where it cannot be applied.
Now, let me ask you this. With two different ships doing the same mission, has the Navy addressed the life cycle costs of the separate maintenance, logistics, training, and support lines of business that each ship is going to have to tail it?
I think it's tried to address that. But right at the very beginning, one of the unique features of each of those designs is the very small number of personnel that are going to be on each ship. And so there winds up being a focus on automated systems on both of these ships, considerable as opposed to manpower. So I think there are roughly 40 to 55 core sailors on each ship, and they're going to be additional sailors to operate those mission modules. That's considerably less than other ships of its size. And so I think there has been a sea change, if you will, in the way the ships are planned to be operated. Yes, there's a lot of uncertainty in that, but I think the Navy is taking a look forward rather than saying, well, we've only done it one way in the past, and that's the way we have to do it again.
Well, putting on your broader DOD hat, let me ask you this. There's cost overruns and 10-year delays of the Lockheed F-35 program. Could the actually, it's run by DOD, not so much the Air Force. Could the Defense Department try that approach and have two competing planes maybe and get the unit cost down?
I don't. It's certainly not feasible at this point. I think the entire origin of the F-35 program was a consolidation of multiple planes. It was thought that, yes, large quantity of one single type and a variant with commonality across those types would save considerable amount of money. But I think it turned out it just didn't work out that way, that the commonality across the types was less than they were hoping. They started production before they really had firm design. The same thing happened with LCS, but they haven't gone far along, nearly as far along with LCS before stopping as they have with the F-35. So I doubt it's possible in that area. But if you're talking about something like Army's handheld radios, if you're talking about another ship, let's say the offshore patrol cutter for the Coast Guard, it seems to be more possible in those areas. But something where you've already spent billions of dollars on design and development, and there are aircraft flying, that doesn't seem feasible.
So it seems to be that you need to conceive the program from the outset as being a continuous competition, but once you're too far down the line, it's too late.
Yeah, I think the amount of money you would wind up spending to get a second contractor up to where you've gotten the first contractor would make it not feasible.
All right. Well, sounds like something worth reading more about, which you can do. Kevin Brancato is a defense analyst for Bloomberg Government. Thanks very much for joining us.
It's been my pleasure.
And we will have links to the Bloomberg report on the littoral combat ship at federalnewsradio.com, where you can also read this interview. And be sure to tune in for your DOD report mornings at 40 minutes past the hour. Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.